Hello, welcome to Raymond Castile's Basement of Horror. Welcome to a new season. You are enjoying crisp fall October atmosphere. I am suffering through the summer. I am coming to you from the past. I am shooting episodes ahead of schedule during the summer. So what you're looking at right now, it might look Halloween-y, but I'm in the summertime as I'm shooting this. And the reason is, you might recall that last season, I told you that I was going to have an eye surgery. I thought it would be in June or July. Well, it was pushed into September, just in time to interfere with production of this show and my enjoyment of the Halloween season. So, to prepare, I decided to shoot some episodes ahead of time during the summer, just in case I die, then I guess my ghost will upload the episodes. Well, I would schedule them to go live, so that's okay. But more, you know, maybe something will go wrong, or I'll be in pain, or I'll be one-eyed, or who knows what could happen. Maybe I'll look funny. Maybe I'll still be recovering. I don't know. So just to be on the safe side, I decided to shoot some episodes over the summer just to make sure I had some quality episodes prepared, ready, for October, just in case. Who knows what happens? Maybe the whole thing takes longer than expected, and I'm sitting here with an eye patch. Hello, Basement of Horror. You don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. So that's a disclaimer, getting that out of the way up front. Several of these October shows are shot during the summertime. Another little bit of news. By the time you see this, I will have appeared on The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. That is a show on Shudder, if you've never heard of it. I mean, Joe Bob Briggs is a pretty famous guy. He's a horror host, and he goes way back, 40 years, much like Svengoolie. He's been at this a long time. And when I was much younger, I would watch him on Monster Vision and the different iterations of his horror host show over the decades. And it was a great honor to finally be on his show. It's called The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. It's on Shudder and AMC Plus. So you have to subscribe to one of those. I think you can get AMC Plus through Amazon Prime. So if you want to see me on that show, subscribe to Shudder and look for The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs, the most recent season. Look for the episode on Coffin Joe. The movie that he's showing is This Night I'll Possess Your Corpse, and I am appearing wearing this shirt, by the way. This is only the second time I've ever worn this shirt. The first time was for his show. And I'm on that episode talking about Coffin Joe, and there's some surprises. So check that out. That's the last time I will mention it this Halloween season, because I want to use Halloween for Halloween. But after Halloween, I will do an episode all about my adventure being on that show and what that was like, and I'll have some photos and video. And, well, that's something to look forward to. That show has not been shot yet. So after Halloween, you know, maybe around Thanksgiving or so, I will have a special show, a special presentation. I'll do the little circular special presentation logo at the beginning. And it will be all about my experience with Joe Bob Briggs and Darcy on The Last Drive-In and what that was like. So that's something to look forward to. But in October, we'll focus on Halloween stuff. Okay, I think, I don't remember, every time I say okay, you have to take a drink. That's the rule on this show. Okay, gotten the preamble out of the way. Now let's talk about what we are here for. We are going to discuss Ben Cooper Blue Box Halloween costumes. This is a blue monster box. Ben Cooper Blue Monster Box. We've discussed all kinds of other Ben Cooper costumes, different variations of the boxes, but we haven't discussed the blue boxes. I've been kind of saving it. I mean, these are my favorite style of Ben Cooper box. And I've been hoping that I'll get a couple more to complete the set. I haven't been able to do that, but I've found a way around that. So we're going to have a fairly complete presentation on the show today. But let's look at this. This is a Ben Cooper monster box. They're obviously blue, very distinctive. No other Ben Cooper box looks like this. This is from the 1970s. This is the Frankenstein, obviously. And I want to call your attention to some things here. Now look at that. See that that design? Let's look at the mask inside of here. Even the mask has that design. What are these things? And we've mentioned this on the show before. This mask is based on an early makeup design that Jack Pierce created for the 1931 Boris Karloff Frankenstein. He ended up using a different design that has since gone on to become, of course, very famous and iconic. But he took some photos of that early design, the unused design, and those photos got out there, and those photos became famous in their own right. One of the reasons is James Bama used that still as a model when he was painting the original Aurora Frankenstein box art in the 60s. And this is a 1970s version. They painted over Bama's original art. And I think they flipped it around for this box. So this is a 1972 Aurora Glow Kit. Square box Aurora Glow Kit. I have to get used to framing these things up again. I haven't done this in months. There we go. That's a good shot. So you can see that design that is based on Jack Pierce's early makeup concept before he revised it to create the Frankenstein makeup that we all know. Now look at this. This is a poster that I made. I didn't buy this. This artwork was created for a series of wallets, little kitty wallets, and an auction house sold the original paintings used for this series of monster wallets a few months ago, and they went for a lot of money, as you might expect. But they posted high-resolution scans of the original paintings, and I downloaded those and I printed them as posters. I thought I would use them as background art for the Halloween episodes, maybe some of the episodes later in the season. So this painting was used for those wallets. Each wallet had two monsters, one on each side of the wallet, and this was the Frankenstein. And you can see it's got that early pre-production makeup design. And the reason it has that, and the reason it's yellow like that, is because it's based on this. Now, I say the reason it's yellow, this is obviously a 70s kit, and this glow design, I think this, when did these come out? 69? Something like that. So the original art didn't look quite like this. They painted over it. But you can see the inspiration, obviously. That's where this comes from. It's inspired by the Aurora art. No, not exactly the same, but it's obviously inspired. And both, all of it is inspired by those early pre-production makeup photos that Jack Pierce took that were used to promote the movie Frankenstein. I think they even ended up on one of the posters. So that's a long story to tell you why this Ben Cooper costume has this odd design that isn't really like any, you know, like in any Frankenstein that made it into a final film. That's Frankenstein in the movie, the Karloff Frankenstein monster didn't have things like that on his head. You can see he's got the neck bolts. And again, here's the box art. Pretty obvious where this is coming from. And we'll talk about the art a little bit more. Let's look at this. Now, you know that I don't unfold these costumes, because once you unfold them, you can never get them back again the same way. But I want to show you, if I can, what this looks like. Ooh. So you can see on the costume, it's got that same design repeated on the forehead. And I'm pretty sure this was painted by Frank Romana, famous Ben Cooper illustrator. It's 1973, Universal Pictures. On the box, two places, Universal Pictures Company. Now, sometimes on these 70s toys, they'll say copyright 1973, but they actually come out in 1974, so I don't know what was the first year for these. It says 73, so I think that indeed they did come out in 73, but it could have been 74. Just because the box says 73 doesn't mean it was. Now, here's what I'm talking about. Now, I can't, because I did that, I can't get the mask back in the same way, because I took the costume out. The mask isn't going in flush with the box. As I was saying. That's as good as it's going to get. I hope the nose doesn't poke a hole in the plastic. Now look at some of these other designs. This is pretty iconic for this box. Where do these other designs come from? Well, they come from the Aurora kits, the Aurora box art. I don't have every one of, doesn't that look like the Ezra Kanway art, which is also ripped off of the Aurora box art? I don't have all four of these boxes to show you. I do have this mummy. I can show you that. You can see what it looks like there. Pretty obvious where they're getting that, where they're getting this design. why it's yellow, because it's mimicking the aurora glow kits. Originally, I think those square box glow kits were 69. Now, they had the frightening lightning earlier than that, but the square boxes were 69 and then reissued in 72. And we have the blood coming out of the mummy's eye, which is a very aurora kind of a thing. In the movies, he never had blood in his eye. These blue boxes have been popularized by NECA. Here's our good buddies NECA. This is a Wolfman, one of the more recent additions to this never-ending line of Halloween kids. Well, look at that! Where have we seen those before? And that logo. These blue boxes are based on the Ben Cooper monster boxes, the blue ones from the 70s. Even though the costume on the figure inside the box isn't always accurate, it's not always even a Ben Cooper costume, let alone a 70s Ben Cooper. In this case, though, it is accurate. That is the 70s Wolfman that did come in this box, and we'll see that in a little bit. So this one's accurate. That costume was sold in this blue style box. And since we mentioned NECA, this might be a good time to talk about Ben Cooper in general, because that leads us to NECA. We've done a lot of shows on Ben Cooper, usually around Halloween. So we've gone over this a million times, but just a brief summary. Ben Cooper was originally a Brooklyn-based company founded in 1937 by costume designer Ben Cooper. That was his actual name, Ben Cooper. And they got into licenses very early, their very first year, 1937. They acquired the Disney license. They started making licensed Disney costumes. And because I have not had my eye surgery yet, I will need to use this. I'm completely blind in my right eye. I can't see anything in my right eye. It's just nothing. I can see my left eye. But hopefully, in a matter of days, that'll change. Okay, so you gotta take a drink. Now, after they had that kickoff with the licensing of the Disney characters right off the bat, it just started going gangbusters right away. They started getting into other licensed characters, TV, movie, celebrities. They were an early adopter of Marvel Comics. They were one of the first companies to license Marvel Comics characters. And they're very famous for licensing Star Wars, having the foresight. Well, I say the foresight. Ben Cooper was licensing anything they could get their hands on, and that included Star Wars. They lucked out. And that first year for Star Wars, when nobody had anything, Kenner didn't have the toys, Ben Cooper had the costumes, so that was a big deal. They had Star Wars costumes, and they had Planet of the Apes and Star Trek and so on. And they also made Jigglers, rubber figures in the 70s and 80s. In 1988, Ben Cooper filed for bankruptcy. In 1989, there was a big warehouse fire that hurt the company. In 1991, they filed for bankruptcy again. And in 1992, they were purchased by Rubies. Then in 2020, Rubies was purchased by NECA. Or perhaps more accurately, the man who owned, I think he still owns it, the man who owns and founded NECA purchased Rubies. And so, which owned Ben Cooper. So that's why we were able to get these, because Rubies bought Ben Cooper, NECA bought Rubies. So NECA owns the Ben Cooper brand and all the designs, and Collegeville as well. That's why they're mixing Ben Cooper and Collegeville costumes in those figure boxes. As far as they're concerned, it's all their brands. They own it now. So when people say, oh, that's a Collegeville costume in a Ben Cooper box, well, as far as NECA is concerned, a Ben Cooper costume is whatever they say it is, because they own it. They own Ben Cooper. Ben Cooper was the biggest Halloween merchandiser in its day. Their competition was Collegeville and Halco, and everything else was behind those three. Those were the big three. As I stated, their star illustrator was Frank Romana. They had other illustrators, but he's emerged as the name. When people think of the house style for Ben Cooper's costumes and masks and everything, they think of Frank Romana, who passed away in 2021 at the age of 97. It was nice that he lived to see this resurgence of interest in Ben Cooper, and people would go to his public appearances and buy autographed pieces of his artwork. So it's great that he lived long enough to see that. That's some information about Ben Cooper the company and their relationship to NECA. Another interesting thing about these costumes, look at this Target sticker, $2.99. See that? Target, $2.99. But look at that. Universal monster. People have speculated that these are the first Universal Monsters branded merchandise. I can't say for sure that that's true, but that has been discussed. I can't think of an earlier example of the Universal Studios monster characters being marketed specifically as Universal Monsters. Really, until, I don't even know if the Aladdin lunchbox said Universal Monsters. It probably did. I guess it did. But I think of like maybe the Remcos or the Imperials, that going into the 80s, that era was really the start of the Universal style guide and a more organized effort to merchandise their characters. But here we are in 1973 with what might be the first example of Universal Monsters marketing these characters as the Universal Monsters. Here is an example of Frankenstein that does not have that Universal label on it. There's another Ben Cooper Frankenstein. Same size. No, it's not. This is actually, it's a small. Whereas this one is a medium. So they're not the same. I thought they were. But it appears to be the same mask. It's the same costume in there. Is it the same mask? Let's see. I don't want to mix them up. I mean, one's a little lighter green than the other. See if they're both in the shot. This is a little darker green. But other than that, they appear to be the same. Some little kid or their parent put some initials in there. But the point is not whether they're a different size or whatever. The point is, this box does not have Universal on it, but it is Universal licensed, just like the other one. Yep, 1973 Universal Pictures. So they're both Universal Studios licensed masks. Let's take a look at the Wolfman, since we saw that action figure. And this Wolfman does not say Universal. Of course, it is licensed by Universal Studios. Just checking. I guess I'm going to check every one of these just to be sure. 1973, Universal Studios. Looks familiar, right? There's that NECA Wolfman. This is supposed to be a large, but boy, it looks like a small mask. That's the Wolfman, the official licensed Universal Studios Wolfman. And I'm not taking this costume out, but I want you to get a little bit of a look at it, like the way the title's written. And you can see that that's the same as the little figure. Essentially the same design, same costume. This is in particularly nice condition. The boxes have a little split on a corner. It's hard to find boxed Halloween costumes, the more desirable ones, in good condition. They're always, and you'll see some that are not in good condition, but they're often in very torn, floppy, sloppy condition. There's the price sticker. I like the Wolfman. I mean, I like all of them. This is the Mummy. I particularly like this Mummy because it's not Karloff, which now all the Mummy, Universal Mummy merchandise we have these days, it's always Karloff, 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 Imhotep, Ardiff Bey. This is Karis, or Karis, or Karis, however you want to pronounce it. They pronounce it different ways in the movies. I usually say Karis, because it rhymes with Claris from the Evan Costello movie. There we go. I like that. Look at that beautiful Karis, 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 Lon Chaney Jr. Mummy. Boy, you don't see that now. I mean, you didn't see it that much then, but thanks to Aurora choosing the Lon Chaney Jr. version of the Mummy, that's why we got some nice Chaney Jr. Karis merchandise in the 60s and 70s. If Aurora had picked the Karloff Mummy, or the Tom Tyler Mummy, it'd be a different story. Or if they'd done Claris from Evan Costello, we would have gotten that one for 20 years. This window's cracked. Oh, look at that. Aww. I like this one. Aww. Ah. Ah! Ah! Okay. We'll display him this way. There we go. That's safer. It's nice to look at him in the box, but he just doesn't want to stay in there. Okay. So you got a drink every time I say okay. I like his hair on top of his head. He's got that bloody eye. Any self-respecting 70s mummy is going to have a bloody eye. Some 60s stuff too. You know, 60s, like the Soki 60s mummies can have bloody eyes, but it's particularly common with any 70s mummy. They've all got bloody eyes. I don't know. I don't want to take that out, but now the mask isn't going to fall out anymore. That's a very colorful costume. Look at the bats and the white and the red. You can kind of get a sense of what he looks like there. He's got blood on his hands. Another 70s mummy characteristic. And I know you're saying, why don't you take it out? You saw in real time how I took the Frankenstein out and I couldn't get it back in again the same way. They're always like this. Like right now, that mummy fits in there perfectly. And I can close this lid. There he is. If I took that costume out and unfolded it, that this mask would be sticking out like this. And as I've said on the show before, I've had situations where I unfolded the costume and it cracked. And even one of them that I just showed you, as I was unfolding it, I could hear a crackly sounds. So I'm not gonna unfold these costumes. I'm sorry. I know you'd like to see them. There's one more in the main four that I want to show you, but before that, I want to review what some of the earlier versions of these look like. And we've seen these before on the show. These are not blue boxes. These are 60s, late 60s, going into the 70s in some cases, like the pumpkin boxes. But these are the earlier versions. So this is what the earlier Ben Cooper mummy looked like. He looks like an accident victim, like he's in the hospital. That is what the earlier version of the mummy looked like. And I think he's still, I think he's universal licensed, isn't he? Yeah, UP, Universal Pictures Company. So he doesn't look anything like the Universal mummy, but he's licensed by Universal, but he looks like an accident victim. This is a flocked Wolfman. He's got a lot of pink and yellow. I mean, he almost looks like an exotic wild animal, like a wild cat or something. Almost like a Wonder Woman villain. Or he doesn't really look like the Wolfman with that dark gray or brown color scheme that we're used to. But it is. It's the Wolfman. He's a really cool mask. And also licensed by Universal. There's the Wolfman. Does it have a ear on it? Not on the box. The costume probably does. But it's 60s. This version is 60. It might be 69, but it's a 60s costume. Here's Frankenstein. Very different from the Frankensteins we've seen. I think it's more Glenn Strange than anything else. But without taking it out of the box, I can't tell if it's got some telltale Karloffian characteristics. But most of the... We had a whole episode of Nothing But Ben Cooper Frankenstein, and I think we saw that most of those Frankies look like Glenn Strange. And Ben Cooper made a lot of different Frankenstein designs besides the two that we've seen so far. But this is a 60s Frank. So they had this design even before this box. They had this design in the 60s. So I showed you those just to, so you have an idea of how different the 60s versions are versus the 70s. So it really is a unique take on the monsters. When they really did a different spin when they did those 70s monster boxes. Now let's look at some... Oh, you know what? I've got these Aurora models here. This is a good segue. So let's look at the last one in that classic lineup. Those four that are on the box front. This is the creature from the Black Lagoon. And as far as I know, this is the only creature from the Black Lagoon that Ben Cooper ever made. People think that Ben Cooper made a lot of different creatures. I don't think they did. I think this is it. This is it. This is the Ben Cooper creature. They did not make one in the 60s. Collegeville made some creature-like characters. And then finally, I think it's 1980, they did a licensed Universal Monsters costume series with a creature in it. But, I'm saying this is the only Ben Cooper creature. I'm not so familiar with what Ben Cooper made, like, in the late 80s or, you know, into the very early 90s, with their final years. I know there were some costumes that Ben Cooper and Collegeville put out very, very late. And they're kind of obscure, and people don't really collect them. And I don't really have any knowledge about those. I know... I'm familiar that, you know, with the fact that there were some very late Universal Monsters costumes, late 80s or maybe very early 90s. I don't have much information on those. So when I say this is the only Ben Cooper creature, that might not be accurate. There might have been a very, very late one. But during the classic era that everybody thinks of, 50s, 60s, 70s, into the early 80s, that classic Halloween era. At that time, this was the only creature that was available from Ben Cooper, and then there was one from Collegeville. Now, will he fall out of his box? Let's see. That's what he looks like in the box. He's cool. And before he falls out. I like the texture on his head. These are very fragile. Just handling these things is difficult. It's very fragile. These vacuum-formed masks. That's what it looks like inside. It's just so, so fragile. It's very, very thin plastic. And it just cracks if you look at it. If you stare at it too hard, it cracks. That is the creature from the Black Lagoon. Licensed Universal Studios. Creature from the Black Lagoon. And this is a sought-after costume. I mean, if you're a creature fan, you gotta have the Ben Cooper creature costume and the Collegeville creature costume, but I think this Ben Cooper one is, I don't know, it might not be the more valuable one, but I think it is the more desirable one. If I had to choose to only own one or the other, I would own this one. Fortunately, I have both. But if I had to give one up, I'd give up the Collegeville. Because this is just classic Halloween. This is my childhood right here. Classic, classic 1970s Halloween. Creature from the Black Lagoon. Why wasn't there a creature costume in the 60s when they made these other Universal characters? They also made the Phantom of the Opera in the 60s. They made a nice selection of Universal characters in the 60s. Why didn't they make the creature? He was popular already. I don't know. Aurora made the model kit. So speaking of that, let's look at some Aurora kits. So we've been talking about how the Aurora kits are inspiration for these. This is a 1972 Aurora Creature from the Black Lagoon glow-in-the-dark kit with glow parts. That's not a reissue. That's 1972. That's the real deal. Everything's original. That's what the actual kit looks like. This is the mummy. Again, all the ones I'm showing you here are 1972 original Aurora glow kits with glow parts. Wolfman. None of them's fallen apart in my hands yet. It's amazing. Here's the Aurora Wolfman. Glow in the dark. It's a 72 kit. And I built and painted all of these. There was a time when I would buy vintage Aurora kits and build and paint them, instead of keeping them mint in box. I would build them. Here's Frankenstein. That's an iconic kit. Look at that. That is a 1972 glow-in-the-dark Frankenstein with original glow parts. All the white parts obviously glow in the dark. And he still glows. Not all of them, but this one, Frankie, still glows. Some of them glow more than others. Now here's a nice segue. We're about to see some giant monsters. This one's a little wiggly. He might fall apart. Ah, look at that. 72 Aurora glow-in-the-dark Godzilla with glow parts. Don't have a glow-in-the-dark King Kong. And I mentioned that because I'm going to show you a King Kong costume. That's why I set this bank here. This is a vinyl bank, and it's obviously based on the Dino De Laurentiis 76 Kong promotional artwork. I mean, it's unmistakable, that face. This was my childhood one. I've shown that before. If I had a 72 Glow Kit Kong, I would be showing that to you, but I don't have that. But it's important to mention that Kong, because here we have, in the blue monster box, we have a King Kong. It's definitely King Kong, a generic gorilla. Now the mask looks like a generic gorilla. Kind of has that 76 shape to the mouth and everything, but it's like a cartoony version of it. But the costume is definitely 76 Kong, which you can see he's holding that plane in his hand. And you'll see more of this in a few moments. You'll get a better look at this. This box, unfortunately, is very ragged. King Kong, 1976 Paramount Pictures. But there's also 73 Universal Pictures copyright. and 73 Universal on the box. So that, I guess these were just sort of standard boxes that it didn't matter what monster was in there. They said Universal. I think the costume itself has a Dino De Laurentiis copyright. Now that's the generic version. Well, now I say it's the generic looking version. It's not generic. It's licensed by Paramount and it has a Universal copyright, but it looks like a generic gorilla. This, and I'm not taking this one out of the package, but this is obviously branded as the Dino De Laurentiis King Kong. And you can see in there, it looks like the Dino De Laurentiis promotional art for King Kong. It's black, it's more serious looking, and it's got artwork on the box that looks like the poster art. This one has the Dino De Laurentiis copyright on it. So this is the movie branded Kong. But there, I mean, this one also says Paramount on it. Yeah, 76 Paramount. 76 Paramount. But this one has the Dino De Laurentiis copyright as well. This is much, much nicer condition. This box is much better. Now we have, going off the giant monsters. Godzilla. Still has the Universal characters around the box, but does not say Universal at the top. This is a small, size small. 78 Toho Company. This one's interesting because the costume originally came in a bag, but we'll look at that in a second. Here's the mask. Doesn't really look a whole lot like Godzilla, but that's it. I guess that's fire coming out of his mouth. And the costume, though it's not in it anymore, it originally came in a bag like that. Well, this very one. And it still has the bag. You can see what the costume looked like. It still has the bag, but the costume is not in the bag. You know, you can't see very much, but that's the costume in there. But you'll see more in a second. So that is the blue box Godzilla. But then there's also this one. A Godzilla branded. It looks really like the Marvel Comics Godzilla comic book, or maybe the Saturday morning cartoon. But it's, instead of monster branding, it's got Godzilla branding. And an image of Godzilla. It also, it looks like the Marvel Comics Godzilla. I think it's the same costume. It looks like the same, more or less the same mask in there. This is a medium. The blue box one was a small. If this was like a tie-in with Marvel, it doesn't say so. But I think unofficially, this is probably supposed to be the Marvel Comics Godzilla. But it was all during that time when you had the comic book and the cartoon and the last of the Toho movies were coming out in the United States. We're having some technical difficulties, so there might be some strangeness to the editing. We've got one more Blue Monster box to show you, and then we've got some other things. We're going beyond the basement in this episode, but first, the 1970s were the decade of Bigfoot, and Ben Cooper made a Bigfoot costume. I don't remember this in childhood. I would have been really excited about this when I found out as a collector that Ben Cooper had made a blue box, a monster box, Bigfoot. I was pretty excited. I was a Bigfoot kid in the 70s. I was scared to death of Bigfoot. And I was also very fascinated by Bigfoot, obviously. And this is not Universal licensed. It is licensed, though, but not by Universal. Look at that creepy Bigfoot. Those green speckles. I mean, that looks like a Mysterious Monsters 1970s movie Bigfoot. But it's not. It's 70s, but it's not a movie Bigfoot. It's not Mysterious Monsters. And it's not a generic Bigfoot. It's a licensed Bigfoot. It's not Bionic Bigfoot. It is a creepy Bigfoot. Look at that. Isn't that cool? If you like Bigfoot, if you grew up in the 70s and you're a Bigfoot kid, this is pretty cool. Interestingly, this is actually two masks. I mean, it's not supposed to be, but it is. It's two masks. And I don't know if they're permanently stuck together. I'm afraid to mess with it. Yeah, I probably could separate them, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave it like it is. Because clearly, it went through the assembly line together, and the eyes got punched together. Everything went through the assembly process with these two masks pressed together. So I'm not going to separate them. I've seen this before with Halloween masks. I've seen it with Topstone masks. I have a Topstone Keith Ward Wolfman, a vacuform one, and it's actually two masks attached together. But anyway, here's this Bigfoot, and he's a creepy Bigfoot, isn't he? He kind of looks like Bionic Bigfoot, kind of, sort of. Got a nice little hairdo there. He doesn't have that Patterson-Gimlin cone, that gorilla, you know, pointy head. Now here's the costume. I see these two masks are starting to separate. Wow, look at that. That is a creepy Bigfoot. Look at that. That is like a Boggy Creek, Mysterious Monsters, Sasquatch, maybe even a Night of the Demon, kind of a creepy Bigfoot. Look at that thing. That is the kind of Bigfoot I would have been scared of as a kid. I'm not going to unfold this. He's even got scary Bigfoot lettering. But he's not a generic Bigfoot. He's not the legendary Bigfoot. He's not a movie Bigfoot. He's a TV Bigfoot, but not Bionic Bigfoot. He is copyright 1977, Sid and Marty Croft. He's a Bigfoot and Wild Boy. Licensed Bigfoot and Wild Boy Bigfoot. From the Saturday morning TV show Bigfoot and Wild Boy, which was a Sid and Marty Krofft live action show. And strangely, I never watched it. I don't even know if I knew it existed. I had heard of it. I don't know if I was kind of scared to watch it. Well, this is interesting. The inner mask is splitting. That's weird. I wonder what the story is with these two masks like this. I do think they would come apart, but I'm not going to force it. I'm going to leave it just like that. But anyway, as a kid, I never watched it. I knew it existed. I remember seeing commercials. I think it was a combination of I liked a serious, scary Bigfoot. I didn't want a silly Bigfoot. But at the same time, I think I might have been a little scared to watch a serious Bigfoot. But this mask and costume and the artwork on the smock, it really doesn't look like Bigfoot and Wild Boy. It looks like Bigfoot. It looks like a legendary cryptid kind of Bigfoot. And I think the way they sold this, I think they deliberately marketed it just as Bigfoot, because it doesn't say Bigfoot and Wild Boy. And even on the costume, it doesn't have like the TV show logo. It just says Bigfoot. It doesn't say Bigfoot and Wild Boy. You have to look at the fine print to see the copyright. Sid and Marty Krofft. Oh, okay, it's Bigfoot and Wild Boy. It's not just Bigfoot. So Ben Cooper knew what they were doing. They knew that that show wasn't a winner, really. It wasn't going to sell costumes. But Bigfoot itself would. And I wonder why they didn't just make a Bigfoot costume. Just, you know, why pay for licensing? They probably already had it. Like a package of Sid and Marty Krofft licenses. And so they figured, well, one of these is Bigfoot. Why don't we use that? I wish they'd made a Jiggler. Why didn't Ben Cooper, they made all these other Jigglers. Why didn't they give us a Bigfoot Jiggler? That would have been so amazing. A rubber Ben Cooper Bigfoot Jiggler. Oh, what a missed opportunity. Now here's a non-Blue Monster Box Bigfoot. It's Ben Cooper. It's Bigfoot. But it's not the Blue Monster Box. It's the Hairy Scary costume. But it is still Sid and Marty Krofft, 1977. It's a different sculpt. It's not the same mask at all. Completely different sculpt. This one has hair. Lots of hair. Plenty of hair. But if you look at the costume in there, it's the same costume. Or is it? Hang on. No, it's not. It kind of is. Well, let's take a look at this. This is interesting. I might have, I did a cryptid episode long ago, and I might have made this little discovery, forgot about it. Wow, it's not the same. I assumed it was. This is the Blue Box Monster Bigfoot. This is the Hairy Scary Bigfoot. It is not the same. Obviously the same pose, the same. One is probably drawn over the other, I would guess. Or maybe it's how they're inked, maybe? No. I mean, the nose is different, the mouth is different, they're different. The hair is different, they're completely different. But I know, because I've seen this other costume before, it's the same sort of pose. The Bigfoot is in the same pose. He's kind of walking towards you. He's got one foot up, so you can see the foot very clearly. But it's a new drawing. It's not the same drawing. Not the same illustration. So that's interesting. Well, we have two different Bigfoots, and it turns out they are very different. Completely different mask, different artwork on the costume, different box, both Sid and Marty Krofft licensed, but completely different. Two completely different Bigfoot costumes. That brings us to the end of what I have to offer. Now, Ben Cooper, I'm not doing aerobics, I'm getting something here, my little notebook. Ben Cooper made 4 more Blue Monster Box costumes. Cousin Eerie, Uncle Creepy, The Thing, not the John Carpenter or Howard Hawks The Thing, but Ben Grimm from the Fantastic Four, the Marvel Comics The Thing, and a female vampire. I don't have any of those. My friend Matt does have Cousin Eerie and Uncle Creepy. And he graciously took photos of his Creepy and Eerie. Both of these are copyright 1976 Warren Communications. And in another place it has Warren Publications as the copyright owner. And that's Jim Warren's magazine company. He published Famous Monsters of Filmland, Eerie Magazine, Creepy Magazine, Vampirella, and many others. And I want to say, I want a little shout out to Jim Warren. He is such a sweet guy. He sends me Christmas cards every Christmas, and they're always handwritten, and sometimes just out of the blue he'll send me just a note. Like, he sent me something just before Easter. It was just like, I hope you're doing well. And then I sent him pictures of a lamb cake that I made, and he enjoyed that. I made a lamb cake, not real lamb, you know, a lamb-shaped cake. I made that for Easter and sent that to him. And he just sends these cute notes and cards for special occasions or just whatever. And they're always handwritten. And sometimes he puts little drawings in there. So he's a very sweet guy. And I know other monster kids who receive similar communication from Mr. Warren. So I'm not the only one he does that with. He does that with other monster fans, and it's very, very nice of him. But anyway, he published Eerie and Creepy, the two magazines. The mascots for those magazines are Cousin Eerie for Eerie Magazine and Uncle Creepy for Creepy Magazine. And Ben Cooper made these costumes based on those characters. Very strange that they would choose these characters of all things and then put them in the Blue Monster boxes. But that's what they did. And at least on Matt's boxes, there's no Universal on the outer box. It doesn't say Universal Monster. This is what the masks look like with their costumes inside the box. And here are the costumes, what the costumes look like nestled inside the boxes. And the Eerie costume unfolded in all of its glory. Now that is a beautiful costume. Man, I wish I had these two costumes, Eerie and Creepy. I don't. But wow, that Eerie costume, look at that, with all the red color. I mean, it's very bold. It makes quite a statement. I mean, it's a dazzling costume. Creepy is sealed in a bag, like that Godzilla I have. It did come in a bag. The bag was opened. Well, this Uncle Creepy is still sealed in its bag, so we're not going to see, at least not yet, we're not going to see what this Uncle Creepy costume looks like, but be patient. There's more Eerie and Creepy to come. These three masks show you the difference between rack versions and box versions and different sizes. The Eerie in this picture is the rack version, which is different than the boxed version. The biggest difference is that it's painted very differently. And a lot of times the masks that they sold on their own, without a box, without a costume, have a much more elaborate paint job. They have a glossy look. They have more colors. Sometimes they're a completely different sculpt. The creepy in the middle is a large version. And then next to it is a small creepy. Matt doesn't have the box for that small one. It's loose. Originally, it came in a box. But this shows you the difference between a large and a small. And there's not always a big difference, as we saw with some of the ones we've looked at. Sometimes there's hardly any difference at all. But in this case, there's a big difference. They're completely different sculpts. The large creepy and the small creepy, completely different sculpts, and obviously different size. Thank you, Matt, for supplying those photos to round things out. But there's even more splendor on its way, because we have a special guest, Dr. Durant, from Dr. Durant's Sanctum. His real name is Rich Hurley, and he has a YouTube channel called Dr. Durant's Sanctum, and he does great long-form videos where he goes into detail about monster merchandise, memorabilia, movies. Rich has been on this show before in person. We've had discussions with him. But for this episode, he prepared a little mini review of some of the masks and costumes, the monster box ones that we didn't see, and a couple that we did see. So this is a little mini documentary that Rich made on Uncle Creepy and King Kong and the Thing. He doesn't have the Eerie, and he doesn't have the female vampire, but he has Creepy, Kong, and Ben Grimm. Now, we saw Kong, but his Kongs are a little different, so it's worth seeing his Kongs as well. So let's throw it over to Rich, Dr. Durant, and let him take it away and tell us more about Uncle Creepy, King Kong, and the Thing.
Hello, fellow Basement of Horror fans. I'm Dr. Durant, also known as Rich Hurley. And as a fellow basement dweller and monster fan, Ray has asked me if I'd share some of my Halloween costumes, as he's doing an episode, I understand, on the Ben Cooper Blue Box Monsters. Now, this, of course, is one of my favorite Ben Cooper boxes, for a number of reasons. One, it features, as you can see, all of the classic Universal monsters. From the Chaney Wolfman to the Glenn Strange Frankenstein, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and, of course, the Carice Mummy. I did an episode on the Universal versions of these monsters earlier on, and I'll do some down the line. But this, of course, is probably the best box for 70s monster fans, as it encapsulates and captures everything cool about being a classic monster fan in the 1970s. Now, don't get me wrong, I love some of those older 60s boxes that they did, the Spook Towns and the Pumpkin Box, but this one has a special place in my heart, because the very first Ben Cooper monster costume that I wore was the sort of green, I call him the Timberwolf Wolfman, and it came in this blue box, and these were the ones that I always saw on the shelf as a kid. Now, what we have here isn't necessarily a monster, it's an odd addition to the blue box monsters, because for the most part, the blue box monsters were the Universal monsters as you see them here pictured on the box. Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and the Mummy. They didn't, as far as I can tell, ever do a Dracula, but they did do a female vampire. But the costume we have here is the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing from Marvel Comics Fantastic Four. Now, did they include him in the blue box because he is the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing? I'm not so sure. Probably the next closest one that would fit with the Thing is that they included Bigfoot, who technically is a monster, but they used the version of Bigfoot that was from Bigfoot and Wild Boy that was on the Sid and Marty Krofft Super Show on Saturday mornings. Got that one in my collection as well. But this is the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing. No blue eyes there unless you're a blue-eyed kid behind the mask. Got sort of a yellow tint there. It's the rock face thing, who's probably going to become popular now after the Fantastic Four movie has been released. And this one, you can see, started out at $369 at Costco, was discounted down to $249, and there's another price there at some point. Not sure where it eventually went. And they do label it the Thing, and it's got the Marvel Comics copyright there, 1974. I believe, if I'm wrong, I'm sure Ray's going to talk about it in his episode, but I believe the first wave of Blue Box Monsters came out in 73. They went out upwards to around 78, 79, somewhere thereabouts. But let's take this out of the box and get a closer look at the costume itself. We've got the mask here. Now, this would not be the first rendition of the Thing that Ben Cooper did. Ben Cooper did do the Thing back in the 60s. Different style mask, more of a Silver Age looking thing. This one's got kind of the 70s version. I mean, my favorite rendition of the Thing was done by probably John Buscema or George Perez. Even Rich Buckler drew a decent Thing back in the day. I know many fans probably enjoy Kirby's rendition because Kirby created the Thing. I like some of the later renditions where you can actually see the ridges along the Thing's brow line. Great mask. Deep mask. It's in good condition. Elastic band is still there. No name written on it. So my guess is that this was probably never worn. Now we have definitely entered the 70s territory here. We're dealing with an all vinyl Thing. You can see 1974 Marvel Comics Group there, all rights reserved. And they make him appear quite monstrous, like he's very angry. He's an angry Thing. Funny thing about the Thing, including him as a monster, is like, sure, he appears monstrous. He's a rock monster. But in the comic books, that was the whole point, is that there was a human being, a kind-hearted, lovable guy underneath all those rocks. And he was treated like a monster, as in any classic misunderstood monster movie. And he was really a sweetheart with a heart of gold, the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing. But I think what they thought is that someone at Ben Cooper possibly thought that this was the Thing from another world from the 1950s science fiction film. Because the font there is not very comic booky. It appears more like a horror movie. It is very reminiscent or recalls the font from the Thing from Another World monster movie. And maybe some middle-aged guy, some guy that wasn't hip or with it or new comic books, which I kind of find it hard to believe because it is a Marvel Comics IP copyright that they went after. But they thought that this was a monster. Get a better look at it there. And what really makes me wonder is, well, if they're going to include the Thing as a monster, why didn't they also put the Incredible Hulk in a blue box? Maybe there is one out there. Ben Cooper never ceases to amaze me. Things show up that I never knew existed as costumes or variants. He's got the rayon legs there, turning to a vinyl torso. And you just got the head and shoulders of the Thing bursting out of the flames there, or starburst to accent the artwork. I believe in the earlier versions of the Thing, I could be wrong, he's done as a rock monster costume. They do him more like the comic books with sort of a circular picture of the Thing on the front. And there he is with the mask. So there we have it, the blue box monster of the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing. It's clobberin' time. Next up is King Kong, a perfect choice for a blue box monster. Now, when Ray and I were talking online, he did say that he does have a version of King Kong in the blue box, but his blue box was a little worse for wear. I dug mine out, and my blue box is a little worse for wear as well. I don't know if it's because it's King Kong that these boxes got stomped around, but I did want to showcase this one anyway because it's a variant different from the version that Ray says he has. Now, King Kong, of course, is a perfect choice for a blue box monster. He is one of the iconic monsters, and he's right up there on the Mount Rushmore of famous movie monsters. That would actually have to be a very big mountain with more than just four faces, because there are so many iconic monsters that should be on it. But I digress. Let's talk a little bit about what we're looking at here. This is from the 1976 Dino De Laurentiis produced version of King Kong that was directed by John Guillermin. And I will go on record here and say that this is my preferred version of King Kong. While it's not the best version of King Kong, I mean, of course, the original is the classic, the one that started it all. Out of all the versions of King Kong, this is the one that I prefer. This is one that leaves a warm and fuzzy place in my heart. And it probably goes back to because in 1976, the artwork that was promoting this movie was everywhere. It was plastered over everything. And me being a monster kid in my prime at that time, I must have been, I think 6, 7 years old, I went gaga for it. I thought it looked amazing. I knew who King Kong was, and this new version of King Kong looked like it was going to be fantastic. And of course, to me, it didn't disappoint. I've grown to love it even more and more over the years. But that's a story for another time and another episode. Right now here, let's just talk a little bit about the costume. As you can see, the box is a little worse for wear, and I did showcase this costume in another episode of mine, but we'll take a closer look here. You can see it's got the price tag on it there. This was a Kmart one, I believe. $327. It's a large. You've got the iconic monster box there, and you've got Kong looking out through the bubble there. And that is based on the artwork, as I said, that promoted the film. Fantastic poster done by John Burney, who was a wonderful artist that did sci-fi paper book covers, artwork for films, movie posters, etc. And the King Kong poster from 1976 is probably one of the most iconic posters from the 70s. Kong straddled across the World Trade Center holding, depending on what version of the poster you've seen, either it's a jet or what sometimes looks like a subway car or a rocket. It's different variants on different posters. And if we take this out of the box here, we can take a look at this fantastic King Kong mask. It really does capture the style of Kong as he appears on that fantastic movie poster. Great neon paint on it. I love the details there around the eyes, sort of the speckled midnight blue around the black. Kong's face, of course, the neon red lips, and the fangs. That really does look like Kong as he appeared on the John Burney poster. And, of course, the smock is a version of that poster. You can see Kong here making that face. And I'm guessing this was just an in-house Cooper artist, possibly Frank Romano, doing a version of the poster. Or I'm wondering if they took perhaps a print of the poster itself, the movie artwork, and just did a version for the smock. But you can see Kong there. He's holding the jet or the rocket. It kind of is a jet, I suppose. And he's got not Fay Wray in this particular one. It was Jessica Lange. And a matter of fact, this was her big movie debut. And there he is, straddled across the World Trade Center, which does not happen in the movie. He does climb the World Trade Center, but he's not big enough that he can stand on each tower. King Kong. And you can see the De Laurentiis copyright there, 1976 Dino De Laurentiis. New York City behind us, and I like that they toss in the Empire State Building as a little Easter egg. The other thing that's interesting about this costume is it does have hairy arms and a hairy chest. So it's supposed to be an ape costume, a Kong costume. So it's a picture of Kong with a picture of Kong on it. There's a bit more fuller shot of the costume and mask together. You can see it's a Kong torso with a picture of King Kong sort of burning through the chest. A kind of cooler rendition of John Burney's poster, as we talked about. Very cool, awesome Kong costume. I love this. It screams 70s monster. This is so mid-70s. It's so cool. It is such an iconic King Kong from the period that I grew up in. And like Ray and I have kind of talked about before when I was on one of his lives, as Ray made the point that the 70s were a perfect time to be a monster kid because a lot of stuff was geared towards kids that loved monsters back then. Everything around us was monsters, from breakfast cereals to toys to movie poster art, etc., etc., etc. Next up, we have one of the harder-to-come-by Blue Box monsters. That is, of course, Uncle Creepy. Now, Uncle Creepy was the host of the aptly named Creepy Magazine. Creepy Magazine was, of course, published by Warren Publications, the same publishers that published Famous Monsters. They published an array of really great horror comics and monster magazines in the late 60s, well into the early 80s. And amongst these magazines were Creepy, Eerie, Vampirella, and, as I stated, Famous Monsters. Creepy was published in black and white and magazine format so that it could circumvent the Comics Code authority, and therefore it could be a bit more risque and have a bit more gore and violence in it than a normal comic book could. Uncle Creepy, of course, comes from a long line of infamous horror hosts, dating all the way back to those infamous EC comics in the 1950s, Tales from the Crypt, The Vault of Horror, and The Haunt of Fear, along with their respective hosts, The Crypt Keeper, The Vault Keeper, and The Old Witch. As a matter of fact, Joe Orlando, who edited Creepy when it first came out, worked for EC Comics back in the 1950s. And Jim Warren was trying to evoke that EC Comics style in this book itself. He utilized a lot of the artists from the EC bullpen back in the day. Now, apparently someone, somewhere along the lines of Ben Cooper, decided it would be a good idea to license Eerie and Creepy. I always wonder why they never did a Vampirella, because she was sort of the third one, although I suppose they didn't do that because she was sort of a bit more risque. And there you have it, Uncle Creepy. 1976 this one came out, Warren Communications. It's got the Warren copyright right there. This box is in really nice condition. This is probably one of my better conditioned blue monster boxes, and what a one to have in good condition, because I said this one's a bit harder to track down. It took me a while to find this one, and I still, as of yet, have not found a Cousin Eerie, though I am actively looking. So if anyone comes across one, you know, let me know. This is, of course, a size medium. Oh. And let's take it out of the box here and get a better look at it. Here is the mask. It's in really decent condition. Uncle Creepy, of course, is sort of this gaunt, cadaverous-looking gentleman dressed in sort of puritanical or colonial-style clothing, like perhaps he might have been a judge that sentenced witches to death, or perhaps he himself was a witch or a warlock. He does have sort of a witch-like nose. He's missing some teeth there. He's got those long, greasy shocks of hair hanging over his ears. Kind of an interesting character that a kid would want to go trick-or-treating as back in the 70s. I'm not sure who would want to go out as Uncle Creepy. Uncle Creepy was, of course, created by Russ Jones, and the original artwork for Uncle Creepy was done by another EC alum, Jack Davis. Matter of fact, the cover for Creepy is infamous. It's Uncle Creepy sitting in a chair surrounded by all sorts of ghouls and monsters and creatures. He's getting ready to read them a horror story. This one's nice because it still has the elastic band. Really, really nice condition. And over the years, Uncle Creepy will be drawn by an array of fantastic artists such as Jack Davis, Frank Frazetta, Manuel San Julian and the great Bernie Wrightson. You can see he has a disgusting wart or a boil on his chin. Very witch-like. They did make some rack-style masks, and Don Post did some masks of creepy and eerie as well. Now, there's some speculation or there's some disagreement about the masks that appear to be Uncle Creepy and Cousin Eerie that were made over the years. There's some harder plastic ones, as well as one that was sort of a rack mask that appears, looks like Uncle Creepy, a different version than this one that I just showed you. And let's take the smock out here, which is in pretty good condition. It's vinyl, all vinyl. And it's Uncle Creepy's outfit. You can see his colonial bow tie there. There's the picture of him. This must have been an in-house artist at Ben Cooper trying to emulate the style of, I'm not sure if that's Jack Davis or perhaps, I don't think it's Manuel San Julian. More like a Jack Davis style Uncle Creepy. He's got his watch chain with a skull on it. They kind of emulated, I think they took really the Phantom of the Opera pattern and turned it into Uncle Creepy's tuxedo. The other interesting thing is Uncle Creepy always had this pet lizard with him. And there it is. Somebody really did do their research well over at Ben Cooper. There he is on the leg of Uncle Creepy. And over here he's got sort of this flaming skull, which I assume is supposed to be kind of like a shrunken skull. And there's some ornamentation there along the legs. It's supposed to be his tattered pants. This is a very, very light vinyl. I mean, it's in great condition. It's almost brand new, but it's very delicate. Some of the vinyl you get in these costumes is a bit more sturdy, stiffer. This is very thin and very delicate, almost like a balloon. Here's kind of a shot of it here, as best we can do. Here's kind of a shot of the costume as best I can do here. I'll take a picture of it. You can see right there, it's got 1976 by Warren Publishing. Uncle Creepy. And there is his creepy visage. There he is, packed away back, safe and secure in his blue box tomb. I think of the two hosts, Uncle Creepy really was my favorite. He had a bit more of a crypt keeper feel to him. He was gaunt and ghoulish looking, more of a gentleman, where Cousin Eerie was creepy. He looks exactly like how you would describe someone that was Cousin Eerie. Well, that's all I've got to showcase of my Blue Box Monsters. I'd like to thank Ray for inviting me down here into the basement of horrors to spend a brief moment with you all, and I hope you'll check me out at Dr. Durant's Sanctum for some more Monster Kid goodness. But until then, I'll say my farewells and let you go back to Ray. I'm sure this is a wonderful, amazing episode he has here, showcasing these fantastic Ben Cooper Blue Box Monsters. Stay cool. Stay kind, and walk in beauty, my friends.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you for making that. I hope everyone enjoyed it. A little different. It's like a little a Dr. Durant episode inside of a Basement of Horror episode. But I think between what Rich prepared and Matt's photos, I hope that gives you a more rounded view of the series. The only one we didn't get to at all was the female vampire. None of us have that, unfortunately. I don't even have a picture of it. I know it exists. I've seen it over the years, but I can't put my fingers on a picture of one right now. And I certainly don't own one. I wish I owned Eerie and Creepy. I've had opportunities to get the thing over the years, and I just never have. But Creepy and Eerie are big box. And I probably will never own those, unfortunately. Just the the amount of money it would take. And we're not talking about a couple hundred dollars. We're talking about a lot more than that. A lot more than that. The amount of money it would take to obtain those two, and they're just so rare. They come up so infrequently. Years may pass before one of those is available for sale. It's just very unlikely that I'll ever own those. And I was putting off this Blue Monster Box episode hoping I would obtain those two. Otherwise, I would have done this a year or two ago. And this year, I just said, you know, I haven't gotten them by now. I'm probably never going to get them. At this point in my life, I'm not going to shell out the kind of dollars necessary to get those items. I still pay up for some things. I recently bought a Topstone Master, the Urethane Master, for an iconic character, and I paid up for that. But that's a one-of-a-kind thing. That's like buying an original work of art. That's a special thing, and it's Topstone. That's my area of specialty above all else. I'm a Topstone expert, and I'm trying to build a definitive Topstone collection. So that's a different situation. So I will step up for some things now and then. But it happens just less and less frequently. The older I get, the more retirement looms, whether I like it or not. You know, if I want to keep working, I'm going to be put out to pasture at some point. It just seems more and more unwise to spend a whole lot of money on a toy or a costume or a mask or whatever. So I'm at a point in my life where I'm thinking some holy grails. If I don't have them by now, I'm never going to have them, because I'm just not going to pay thousands of dollars for anything, really, at this point in my life. It's just very rare that I shell out that kind of money. And that's what it would take to get eerie and creepy. I can't see myself doing that. So I that's why I finally just broke down and said, okay, let's do this episode, because it doesn't make sense to wait another year. See, maybe I'll get eerie and creepy. It's not going to happen. And if it does, I can do a special episode just showing you those. That's fine. Say, well, look what I got. That's fine. But I'm glad my friends, Rich and Matt, they do have one or both of them. And thanks to them, we were able to include those in this episode. And, you know, if I ever get that female vampire, maybe I'll find an excuse to show her. But, man, she's not anything to write home about, as I recall. You've seen the coolest ones. Now, if you know of any other blue box monster masks and costumes that I haven't mentioned, let me know, because as far as I know, the series is Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy, Creature, King Kong, Godzilla, Bigfoot, Thing, female vampire, eerie, creepy. That's 11. That's an odd number. It seems like they would make 12, like an even number. But I can't. And I asked around, like, does anyone know of another character in this line? And no one is sure of another character in this line beyond those 11. So I think it's just those 11. But if you know of a 12th or 13th or 14th character that was sold in this blue box, let me know. Just for my own information and perhaps for a future episode. Like, was there a ghost? Was there maybe a non-monster character, like a fairy godmother or princess or something like that? I mean, I have this vague memory of seeing like a princess or some girl character, not the vampire, in one of these boxes, but it could be just, you know, a hallucination. But if you've seen other characters, let me know in the comments, what other characters are you sure exist in these blue boxes? That brings the episode to a close. I hope you found it entertaining. Thank you again to Rich and Matt for supplying those additional costumes that Otherwise, it would be an incomplete episode without their contribution. Thank you for watching. Thank you for returning to Basement of Horror. I think this is the 8th season. Yes, it is. It is the start of the 8th season. Wow. Am I going to make it to 10? I don't know. If you make it to 8, it feels like you got to make it to 10, but I don't know. That's quite a commitment. We'll see. But this is the 8th season. I hope you have a great October. I hope you have a happy, happy Halloween. And I will see you with new episodes all through this month. Most of them were recorded in the summer, but you don't have to know that. Just pretend that we're all in this together in the month of October, and I'm able to experience the fall air and the leaves turning and all that wonderful fall nostalgia. It's not the case. It's still summer for me. But just pretend that outside this basement, it's a beautiful Charlie Brown Halloween fall sky with the leaves floating to the ground and jazzy piano music and pumpkins and all that good stuff. You're experiencing that because you're really in October. I'm not. But I'm glad you're in the Halloween season, and now I've added to your Halloween season. Now I'm part of the Halloween season. Thank you again, and until next time, the one who dies with the most toys is dead.